Hello and welcome to Bare Naked Politics, the podcast for people who want to keep up with the headlines but who aren't necessarily politics experts. This is where you come if you want it all to make sense and if you want someone to put it in a linear order so you don't need to like pick at lots of different articles to understand what's going on. It's all here. Isn't it glorious? My name's Julia Bell and today I cannot believe these words are actually leaving my mouth. I thought I would die of old age before we got here, but we're here. The Sue Gray Report has been released in full, and this is the episode, Wednesday the 25th of May I'm recording, Thursday the 26th of May it'll be out, where we actually work out and read what in flying hell it says. So listen, no faff. Make sure you're subscribed to this podcast or make sure you've clicked follow if you're listening on Spotify. Give it a 5-star review so that other people are tempted to listen too. And with that said, for the love of all that is good and green on earth, let's find out what Sue Gray said. Okay, so it's important to quickly note that the Met Police investigation into all these parties and events at Downing Street, that concluded last week on the 19th of May. And remember that that investigation, the police one, is why Sue Gray was so delayed in getting this out to us. But from the Met, we know that 126 fixed penalty notices, 126 fines, were given to 83 individuals within this circumstance. And Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, was one of them. Although he didn't get any more than that one for the party on his own birthday. So it's good to kind of put that out there so you understand why are we getting this now after what has been basically delayed since January. I mean, she's probably more frustrated than all of us, but that's why we're here. But here it is, for the love of God, what did Sue Gray actually say? Well, unlike in the shortened version, remember we had this kind of heavily redacted version of the report released in January, which was 12 pages in total, but really only one of those had any meat on it. Well, Sue Gray's full report is 60 pages long. I mean, maybe a blank page at the end. So like 59 pages long. And it is meaty because it even includes 9 photographs, which include pictures of Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak and Simon Case, the cabinet secretary. So it includes photos, it's dead long, and it covers 16 separate events, 12 of which were investigated by the police and obviously resulted in 126 fines. Overall, if you want one sentence to sum it up, it confirms with no hesitation that parties happened, and it confirms that those parties in turn broke the lockdown, or like broke what the government had said the public should do. You know, it contradicted the rules that very government was setting. That's what the report basically, you know, in summary says. For example, Gray mentioned that several of the events appeared notably kind of drunken and rowdy, is the way that lots of the media outlets are putting it. She talks about a leaving do on the 18th of June, 2020. There was karaoke and, quote, excessive alcohol consumption, where someone was sick and, quote, a minor altercation took place between 2 other individuals. She goes on to say that the staff stayed on that beyond 3 a.m. She also talks about 2 leaving events on the 14th of April, 2021, which merged into the number 10 garden. They involved drunkenness and people leaving after 4 a.m. And then she talks about this Christmas party in December 2020, where she talks about red wine being spilled on a wall and on stationery supplies. So she covers loads of ground. She gives lots of details about what specifically happened. And I think the big thing to mention is that this report explicitly says that these events were planned. They were not spur-of-the-moment decisions that kind of got a bit out of hand. They were planned. And she talks about emails and messages that show the regular planning of social events. And she even kind of talks about, like, there's messages where some officials are saying, this is a bad idea. And then other staffers are going, oh, it'll be fine. So there's also proof that people knew this was wrong. Or people knew this was a bad idea. And then they carried on anyway. She uncovered messages from Martin Reynolds, who is a key part of this story, Johnson's former principal private secretary. And one of those messages that he sent after one of these gatherings said that they, quote, seem to have got away with it. Seem to have got away with it. Well, Mr. Reynolds, no, you didn't. Another thing that I think is really interesting about this report, alongside it being like, these events were planned, they happened, you know, don't pretend like they're things that got out of hand. The other thing is, she directly names and shames seriously senior officials who were involved in the parties. It's not like, oh, this person in this job role, it's full name in this job role did this. So Boris Johnson's name is in there, Rishi Sunak, Dominic Cummings, the other senior civils, you know, civil servants, Martin Reynolds, of course, Helen McNamara's name, of course, I've talked about her in previous podcast episodes, Number 10's former ethics chief, yes, ethics chief. The report talks about how she brought this karaoke machine to one of the parties. And, you know, if that doesn't signify a planned thing, then for God's sake, what does? You don't just bring a karaoke machine just in case something rolls into it. That's intent, right? Especially since at the time of the party, the government's official advice to us, the public, was don't sing. No going out and about and singing in public. But all right, illegal party in Downing Street. Yeah, let's have the ethics chief bring a karaoke machine. But you know what? The report doesn't name junior members of staff. And that is quite an interesting element to this. So in her overall findings, she actually makes a point of saying that security and junior staff were often treated in a quote unquote unacceptable way. So you can't help but kind of infer from her A, saying that, and B, really only mentioning senior officials rather than junior ones, that you know, senior members are the ones with the responsibility. They're the ones that kind of should carry the burden of blame in this scenario. So look, overall, the report is damning. And the previous redacted version in January very much alluded that it would be, but it really is. It is kind of what that one implied it would be. And Gray concludes that whatever the quote-unquote initial intent, many of the gatherings breached COVID rules, and regardless of the sort of pressures that the Downing Street staff may have felt at the time, they shouldn't have happened. They just shouldn't have happened. And in fact, one step further, she references the feelings of the public, you know, anger, betrayal. And she says, quote, the public have a right to expect the very highest standards of behaviour in such places. And clearly what happened fell well short of this. End quote. So Gray is, you know, she's writing this down in a report for the whole world to see, really hammering home that there were these, quote, failures of leadership and judgment that she talked about. And Johnson himself kind of is named, and the inference is that he shoulders responsibility. Because again, here, this is a quote, the senior leadership at the centre, both political and official, must bear responsibility for this culture. Wow. Okay, let's talk through some reactions. After the report was published, so the day I'm recording this, Wednesday the 25th of May, Johnson addressed the House of Commons and gave a statement, gave his reasoning or his justification behind how this happened. How did this happen? How was this allowed to happen? How could you have said that you weren't misleading Parliament when you said no rules were broken? All of that stuff, he kind of addressed it. And really, his line of argument was that everyone was working long hours and socialising, you know, was a way to boost morale. And the problem is the length of time that these events continued and were allowed to continue. That was what was unacceptable. Have a listen to this.
I'm grateful to Sue Gray for her report today, and I want to thank her for the work that she's done. I also thank the Metropolitan Police for completing their investigation, and I want to begin today by renewing my apology to the House, to the whole country, for the short lunchtime gathering on the 19th of June 2020 in the Cabinet Room, during which I stood at my place at the Cabinet table and for which I received a fixed penalty notice. And I also want to say, Mr. Speaker, above all, that I take full responsibility for everything that took place on my watch. Sue Gray's report has emphasised that it is up to the political leadership in Number 10 to take ultimate responsibility, and, of course, I do. Mr Speaker, those staff working in Downing Street were permitted to continue attending their office for the purpose of work, and the exemption under the regulations applied to their work because of the nature of their jobs reporting directly to the Prime Minister. These people were working extremely long hours, doing their best to give this country the ability to fight the pandemic. The exemption under which they were present in Downing Street includes those circumstances where officials and advisers were leaving the government. And it was appropriate to recognise them, to thank them for the work that they have done. Let me come to that, Mr Speaker. I briefly attended such gatherings to thank them for their service, which I believe is one of the essential duties of leadership, and particularly important when people need to feel that their contributions have been appreciated, and to keep morale as high as possible. I'm trying to explain the reasons I was there, Mr Speaker. And it's clear from what Sue Gray has had to say that some of these gatherings then went on far longer than was necessary. And they were clearly in breach of the rules, and they fell foul of the rules. I have to tell the House, because the House will need to know this, and again, this is not to mitigate or to extenuate, I had no knowledge of those subsequent proceedings because I simply wasn't there. And I have been as surprised and disappointed as anyone else in this House as the revelations have unfolded. And frankly, Mr Speaker, I have been appalled by some of the behaviour, particularly in the treatment of the security and the cleaning staff.
So yeah, he really is sticking with the line that he did not mislead Parliament when he said no rules were broken. Even though Sue Gray has said, well, not only were rules broken, but there was intent there, there was planning there. But Johnson insists that when he said that thing about no rules being broken, that was what he genuinely believed to be true at the time. So it wasn't intentionally misleading anybody because I really believed that we hadn't broken any rules. That's a very contentious issue. We can kind of unpack that in a second. But then in a kind of very classic Boris Johnson way, he tried to swing the situation into a positive note and say, look, we are making all these positive changes already. We're already learning and adapting from this.
In response to her interim report, Sue Gray acknowledges that very significant changes have already been enacted. She writes, and I quote, I am pleased that progress is being made in addressing the issues I raised. And she adds, since my update, there have been changes to the organisation and management of Downing Street in the Cabinet Office with the aim of creating clearer lines of leadership and accountability, and now these need the chance and time to bed in. Number 10 now has its own permanent secretary charged with applying the highest standards of governance. There are now easier ways for staff to voice any worries, and Sue Gray welcomes that, and I quote, steps have since been taken to introduce more easily accessible means by which to raise concerns electronically, in person or online, including directly with the permanent secretary. The entire senior management has changed. There is a new chief of staff, an elected member of this House who also commands the status of a cabinet minister. There is a new director of communications, a new principal private secretary, and another of other key appointments in my office.
So that's Johnson's reaction. Yes, I made some mistakes. I've paid my fine. But look, we're making changes in Downing Street. Don't worry. Nothing like this will ever happen again. And then he rounded it off by saying he was, quote, humbled, and that he had, quote, learned a lesson. I mean, that's his side of things. Of course, opposition members, are you ready for some groundbreaking news? They are not impressed. So Ian Blackford, leader of the SNP, no friend to Boris Johnson. These two men, I mean, what I can only detect between them is utter disdain, and that is putting it nicely. But Ian Blackford, leader of the SNP, called for Johnson's resignation. And Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party, employed some alliteration, frankly, with his chastising of Boris Johnson. He called him a catalogue of criminality, and he called for backbench Conservatives, so, you know, members of Boris Johnson's own party. He said, you guys should be holding him to account. Have a listen to this.
Mr. Speaker, to govern this country is an honour, not a birthright. It is an act of service to the British people, not the keys to a court to parade to your friends. Yeah. It requires honesty, integrity, a moral authority. I can't tell you how many times people have said to me that this Prime Minister's lack of integrity is somehow priced in, that his behaviour and character don't matter. I have never accepted that, and I never will accept that. Whatever your politics, whichever party you vote for, honesty and decency matters. Our great democracy depends on it. And cherishing and nurturing British democracy is what it means to be patriotic. There are members opposite who know that, and they know the Prime Minister is incapable of it. The question they must now ask themselves is, what are they going to do about it? They can heap their reputations, the reputation of their party, the reputation of this country on the bonfire that is his leadership. Or they can spare the country from a Prime Minister totally unworthy of his responsibilities.
So that was Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party, responding to Johnson's statement after the Sue Gray report was published in full on the 25th of May. Okay, I kind of want to work backwards, just in case you've missed some of this stuff, because it is really important. Now that we know what the verdicts are, both from Sue Gray's report and from the Met Police investigation, I need you to cast your mind back to last week. So the Met investigation is closed, but Sue Gray's report has not yet been released. And we were kind of at a point where Boris Johnson had just got this one fine. We knew then that he wasn't going to get any more. And, I mean, many would say that's still enough to demand a resignation, but the temperature in Westminster just wasn't that heated. It kind of looked like he's going to get away with this. He's going to coast by pretty much unscathed, or at least not if, you know, at least if not unscathed, then with his job intact, right? But, and this is the big but, a couple of days before the Sue Gray report was released, in this sort of limbo period, we got a little teaser trailer of what would be in it in the form of some leaked photographs. And obviously the question is, like, ooh, where did these come from? Who's got an agenda to, I suppose, try and make sure that Boris Johnson didn't just coast by? So in the photos, in case you haven't seen them, you can see Boris Johnson at a leaving do for Lee Kane, who was Johnson's former director of communications. We've talked about him on the pod before, kind of an ally of Dominic Cummings. But he was at the leaving do for Lee Kane, and in the picture, Johnson is, it looks like he's toasting, like raising a glass of champagne or Prosecco. And in front of him on the table, there are like open bottles, packets of crisps, all your typical party paraphernalia, basically. But what makes this picture feel kind of extra scandalous is that Johnson was not given a fine for that particular party by the Met Police. He wasn't given a fixed penalty notice. It's kind of like, wait, so that wasn't deemed a rule-breaking event? And of course, a lot of people, Conservatives, Labour, opposition, you know, same party alike, have a lot to say about this. Have a listen to this. It's Baroness Davidson. So she was the leader of the Scottish Conservative Party from 2011 to 2019. And she's not impressed at all. Have a listen.
Well, I think the issue is the fact that there is now photographic evidence that when the Prime Minister stood up in Parliament and was asked directly, was there a party in number 10 on this date? And he replied, no, that he lied to Parliament. There's five open bottles of wine, a bottle of fizz, a bottle of spirits sitting around on the table around him. He's raising a toast to people. Now, if that's not something that contravenes a lockdown rule of two people that have to be, you know, reasonably reliable for work, then I don't know what does.
So there you go, Baroness Davidson there. So that's issue number one that is kind of, I suppose, baffling a lot of people, because this investigation, the Met Police investigation, was not a small job. The team investigating comprised of 12 full-time officers. with other support and, you know, oversight available when required. And it had an overall cost of £460,000. So you've got commentators looking at that and going, okay, even with those resources, which aren't, you know, they're nothing to turn your nose up, they're significant resources, they still didn't find Johnson to be breaking the rules in this photo with all this wine. It's definitely causing divided opinions, that's for sure. So that's kind of issue number one, is these leaked photos that I wanted to contextualise for you. And the second kind of interesting twist that happened in the build-up to Sue Gray publishing her report was this sort of speculation about whether Johnson himself tried to have a meeting with Sue Gray to talk about the report. So what we do know is that they did have a meeting, but we don't really know the contents of the meeting, and we don't really know what the intent was. When he was questioned about this, he did not have much to say.
What did you talk about in your secret meeting last month?
I'm, with great respect, not going to comment on or give any running commentary on her report until we get it.
So Boris Johnson there. But what we do have confirmed is that a meeting did happen on the Prime Minister's request. So it was his idea, essentially. Johnson was the instigator. He's the one who wanted to talk with Sue Gray. That's what we know. What we don't know is what was said in the meeting. Number 10's version of events is, look, Mr. Johnson was just meeting Sue Gray to discuss the process. He wanted to understand the process, and he was entitled to that information, like this is what's involved. However, others are kind of speculating about, well, did they discuss, did he share any preference for what he wanted to happen with this report? Because if so, that is not a good look. This is meant to be an independent investigation where Sue Gray, a civil servant, a non-partisan civil servant, is looking into, you know, whether he broke his own rules. So that's the speculation. Again, we don't know. But for instance, I'm seeing speculation floating around about, did Johnson want Sue Gray not to include pictures in the report? I cannot back up whether that happened or whether it's just not even close to the truth, but I'm seeing it floating around, and it is something that commentators are discussing. So those two things I thought were worth contextualising is these leaked photos in the lead up, and then this debate around, hang on, what is Johnson doing meeting with Sue Gray, and what are they talking about? Okay, and the last question is, what happens next? You know, Sue Gray talks about the public's feeling of betrayal. Ian Blackford, the leader of the SNP in the UK House of Commons, is amongst those calling for a resignation from Boris Johnson. But will we really see any actual ramifications? Because this is a theme, right? It's like chastisement, you did wrong, you broke the rules, cool, what next? That's kind of the pattern we're all seeing. And for many, it's very frustrating. It's like, what is the point in having rules if you just break them and everyone shrugs and rolls over and then on they plough? Like, it just seems a bit painful as a consistent pattern. But in the final report, just bear in mind, you know, Sue Gray reiterates that it was not for her to make a judgment on, quote, whether the criminal law had been broken. That was a matter for law enforcement. That was a matter for the police. And as we covered at the start of this episode, that Met Police investigation is closed. It's finished. It's done. And since their investigation had to be finished before Gray's inquiry could be released, before we could actually find this out, and that's why it was so delayed, whether it's beneficial for the government or not, it has kind of dampened the impact that Gray's report could ever have had. Yeah, even though what is in it is damning, it is so damning, this has been a conversation for such a long time, and we've already seen the police fining our government who made the rules for breaking those rules. So there's already that kind of shock in the system. And has it rippled away and faded? Yeah, I think anyone who says no hasn't been paying attention. But watch this space. You know, I absolutely need to stop even trying to make predictions, because I'm always wrong. And politics never goes how you think it's going to go. And that's why it's interesting. That's why I like it. But Johnson is showing no signs of wanting to walk away. That the resignation piece is not relevant. He just bats it away. He doesn't even acknowledge it. I don't know if this scandal can really build up enough traction to change that. From where I'm sitting, it doesn't look like it's going to make a long-term impact on Johnson's spot at the top. Has it dinted his reputation? Absolutely, of course it has. And could this bite him in the arse in an election, for example? I would be surprised if it doesn't come up. Yeah. I can only imagine that Labour, you know, the Labour Party and their comms department are already drumming up imagery of the horrors of COVID and what we all experienced next to those pictures of the Prime Minister making toasts at illegal parties surrounded by bottles of wine. I can see it now. I will expect to see that when we hit our next election. But we're not really scheduled to have one, a general one, until 2024. And I don't think Johnson's going to want to hurry that process just while his reputation, you know, has a chance to heal, I suppose. Let me know what you think. Perhaps you're of the mindset that, like, there's bigger fish to fry. This is done. Loads of people broke the rules, the Prime Minister included. He said that he didn't mean to mislead Parliament, whatever. Or maybe you're of the mindset that, like, breaking the rules is breaking the rules. The people at the top should be held accountable. It doesn't matter if it's been a long time that this has been rumbling on. That's irrelevant. It's down to, you know, the simple principle of accountability and the simple intrinsic value of abiding by your own laws. You know, maybe you're of that belief, or maybe you're somewhere in between. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you're exhausted and all you want is wine. Listen, maybe I'm in your camp as well, to be honest. I'll leave it there. What you need to do, I will say before I leave you, is follow the @barenakedpolitics Instagram account. It's brand new. We're putting up teasers. We're putting up jargon busters. We're helping you out with, you know, areas that might be confusing in the news. It's very on brand. And it's separate from my Instagram account, so you'll see more stuff about this podcast on there now, which is really fun. @barenakedpolitics, give it a follow. I'll put the link in the episode description, as well as the link to the Patreon page. Do make sure, if you can, you become a patron if you want this podcast to keep going, because it's the only way it can, is if people support it. So if you find this content helpful, then do check out that. And on that, I will thank Maddie Page for co-producing this episode with me. Did an excellent job. Thank you, Maddie. And I will speak to you all in the next episode. Goodbye.